Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Dr. Mohler is president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary and one of the nation's leading theologians and cultural commentators. To get online with Dr. Mohler, call toll-free nationwide, 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Now, here's your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Hello, America. Welcome to the Albert Mohler Program. Once again, broadcasting today live from Nashville, Tennessee, where we are meeting here with the Southern Baptist Convention. Several thousand Southern Baptists from all over the nation meeting in downtown Nashville for our annual convention. We're going to be talking in the second segment and for the remainder of the program with Dr. James Merritt, who is a pastor and former president of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we're going to be talking about some of the issues facing our denomination, the evangelical world, and church life today. First, a review of the news. Happy news out of Utah, where the 11-year-old Cub Scout who was missing for 4 days was found alive. That is an amazing story, and every parent's heart has to be heartened and warmed by this encouraging word. This boy had been lost. Now, one of the interesting things was that he apparently was merely lost. And it's interesting that his training as a Cub Scout, and he had only been in the program for a couple of years, evidently paid off because he kept himself alive for 4 days until he was found by a lakeside. He was later helicoptered back to a metropolitan area hospital. The boy is unnamed, but the Summit County Sheriff Dade Edmonds said that the boy, when he was found, was in no mood to talk, but he was hungry, thirsty, and he wanted to see his mother. I think that's quite understandable. And there were a lot of prayers devoted to this lost little boy, and he has been found. And that is a happy, happy development. Folks, we're tracing week by week, it seems, if not day by day, some of the developments in our world that call out for our moral attention and worldview analysis. A report out of The Guardian, that's one of the leading newspapers in Great Britain, just this week reports that scientists at Britain's Sheffield University are working on the possibility that human embryonic stem cells can be the source for artificial human gametes, that is, for artificial sperm and eggs. Now, why is this important? It is because this would transcend many of the real moral debates we have today and put us in an even worse situation in which you would potentially have the ability for lesbian couples and homosexual male couples to have children using these artificial gametes. Now, why in the world would researchers be pushing this? Well, they say it is because they want to understand the process of human reproduction, that they want to understand the genetic background to how all of these reproductive processes actually work. And in so doing, if they can use these pluripotent embryonic stem cells from the human embryo, they argue that they can literally now break the bonds that have constrained human reproduction until now. This is another glimpse of the brave new world, and it is a frightening glimpse of a brave new world because the institution of marriage, the relationship between the parent and the child and between the parents that produces the child, is something that is now being undermined in the name of this brave new world of technology. Anna Schmager, a researcher in medical ethics at Imperial College London, told the newspaper that this particular technology could provide an obvious solution to infertile couples, but she went on and said gay couples could have children genetically related to both. Single men could even produce a child using their own cells and an engineered egg, opening the new way of cloning. Women's fertility could no longer be curtailed at the menopause. These possibilities, she said, raise new questions about how we define parenthood and about how we decide who has access to these new technologies. The Seattle Times jumped in with both feet in the debate over a biological basis for homosexuality on Sunday. In a news report that originated from Oregon State University, the Times argued through its science reporter that we may now face a conclusive biological basis for homosexuality that would transcend the entire moral question. Now, we need to take this apart for a moment because already this particular article is spreading across the nation. You're hearing about it on talk shows. It's being blogged about on the Internet because there are those who are immediately jumping to say, look, this proves there is a biological basis for homosexuality. Nonsense. Number one, the experiments are with sheep. And these researchers have gathered what they call our male-oriented male sheep, and they're suggesting that this is not a learned behavior. It is somehow a biologically driven behavior. Now, let's just point out the obvious, and that is that there is no research basis to jump from sheep to the question of human sexuality. But let's also go back to the fundamental assumption of this article, which is that if there were to be found some, even remote, partial and small biological basis for homosexuality, therefore homosexuality must necessarily be recognized as natural and moral. We can't accept that argument. And we need to be very, very careful as Christians that we begin right where we must always begin, and that is with Scripture, and understand that the moral status of homosexuality is not determined by science. It is determined by the Creator. Now, if there were to be found some incontrovertible evidence, some credible scientific evidence, and let me just say again, it does not now exist, but if it did exist, if we had to look at the evidence and say, yes, there appears to be some biological basis, what would be our Christian response? It should be, we expected it. Go back to Genesis 3. Go back to the story of the fall. Remember that when the fall took place, when Adam and Eve sinned, when sin entered human existence, our genetic structure was changed. How do we know that? Because in Eden, they did not age. Death was not programmed into the human genome, into the human genetic code, but it is now. From the moment Adam took of that forbidden fruit, the genetic code was altered and death became encoded such that when we are born, we are destined to die. Now, why would we expect that there could not be some, even small, biological component to something as complex as human sexuality? It's not been proved, but we need to be very clear right up front that if it is proved, that has nothing whatsoever to do with the moral status of homosexual acts. It has nothing to do with the moral status of homosexual relationships. And we of all people must be those who remember that. When you start hearing about this report from Oregon State University and the article from the Seattle Times, keep all that in mind. Vincent Carroll is the editorial news editor for the Rocky Mountain News in Denver, and we've been following very closely the controversy over the Air Force Academy. And as those of you who have been listening to this program know, I went out to Colorado Springs. I've looked into the situation personally, and I want to tell you, I think this is one of the chief assaults upon evangelical Christianity in America today. What's going on at the Air Force Academy is an assault upon evangelical conviction and upon the religious freedom, the liberties of the evangelical cadets who are a part of that great service academy. The criticism that is coming to the academy is that it has fostered an atmosphere of intolerance. And the evidence for that is the fact that there are cadets trying to evangelize each other. In essence, what this means is that evangelicals are being found guilty of being evangelical, of Christians who are being found guilty of being Christian. Vincent Carroll understands that there is a problem, and he suggests that the Air Force needs to look into this, but he warns that the evidence against the evangelicals right now is based on, and these are his words, he says, the sole evidence is comments such as chaplains calling on cadets to witness to their peers, made at voluntary Protestant worship services. Mr. Carroll is the editorial page editor of the Rocky Mountain News, and he says if there's a problem, it's not evangelism. That's just evangelical Christianity. We will be watching this. The big news today out of the Air Force Academy is that its commander, Lieutenant General John Rosa, has been elected the new president of the Citadel, the military academy that's in private hands in South Carolina. What happens from that? Only time will tell. But it does appear that there will be new leadership at the Air Force Academy, and we need to pray that this will be leadership that will be sensitive to the responsibilities and to the rights and religious liberties of those young cadets, Christian cadets who are there. In Canada, an atrocity took place in recent days when the University of Western Ontario awarded an honorary doctorate to Henry Morgan Taylor. If you're not familiar with that name, it's because you're not watching what goes on in Canada, because this name is either famous or infamous, depending on where you stand on the issue of abortion. Henry Morgan Taylor, well, his name is now on the abortion law in Canada that makes abortion legal. This was a man who acted in civil disobedience. He broke the law about abortions. He actually himself developed abortion techniques. He ran illegal abortion clinics, and now this university has awarded him an honorary doctorate. In his speech, he said this, I joined the Humanist Fellowship of Montreal in 1963 and became its president the following year. He said, humanist philosophy appealed to me, not only because it was devoid of dogma, arbitrariness, and supernatural claims, but also because it had a framework of values that seemed relevant to contemporary concerns. He goes on to say that this led him into the abortion industry, and he says that it is a vindication for him, not only that the Canadian Supreme Court has now ruled in his favor and that the law of Canada now renders what he is doing legal rather than illegal, but he says that this particular honorary degree is a way of recognizing that what he did was right and admirable. And you know, that's the whole idea of an honorary degree, right? It is to bring honor upon the one to which it is bestowed. What in the world was the University of Western Ontario thinking? There were a few hundred protesters against this that came to the commencement ceremony there at the university. The Board of Trustees raised some significant issues about the president's judgment in this matter, but the honorary degree stands. Folks, this is the kind of world we live in which the one who develops the abortion technique breaks the law and becomes the father of abortion in Canada receives an honorary degree from the University of Western Ontario. It's good to know what we're up against. We'll be back to talk about issues in denominational life, evangelicalism, and the local church. Our guest will be James Merritt, and we'll be right back. Coming to you coast to coast today from Nashville, Tennessee. And the reason for that is that the Southern Baptist Convention's meeting here. It's one of the biggest Christian meetings that is held on an annual basis. And some have said the largest annual deliberative convention of any kind. And Southern Baptists do like to deliberate. And so we've been right through several hours of our business session today, and a lot is coming tomorrow. The report of the Resolutions Committee comes tomorrow morning, and that's where a lot of attention is going to be directed. And this is a big denomination with an awful lot of business to do, but it's also an opportunity to get together with some of our closest friends we don't get to see all the time. And here in Nashville with me in the studio is Dr. James Merritt, who is pastor of Crosspoint, the church at Gwinnett Center in Atlanta. It's a fast-growing suburban congregation. It really is a model for church growth. The church is only a few years old and already has several thousand members. And Dr. James Merritt is also known for his own ministry in the media, Touching Lives, found on television. Many of you will recognize his voice and his face. But today you're going to have to go with the voice. James Merritt's a dear friend, and it's good to have you here on the program.
It's good to be with you, Dr. Moeller.
Now, you are also a former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, so here you are at this meeting. What does it mean to you when you come to the Southern Baptist Convention? I mean, you know what goes on, both in terms of what it's like to be a messenger and what it's like to be the chief presiding officer of the convention. Why is it so important?
Well, first of all, as you know, Dr. Moeller, we're the largest Protestant evangelical denomination in the world, and I think probably all things considered, the greatest force for the gospel in the world. And as you know, we heard from the president today. I was telling another a news station in an interview this morning that when the president addressed the convention and talked about some of the big issues that we face, whether it be a culture of life or whether it be the fact that morality is being legislated from the bench and issues like that, I was just reminded again of the heart of Southern Baptist, and we really are at the forefront of doing everything we can to keep this nation free and to keep this nation strong in a real moral and a spiritual sense.
Well, you know, the Southern Baptist Convention was established in 1845, a little history lesson here, before the Civil War, and it was established basically as a missionary body. And what a lot of people just don't know is that that is still the heartbeat of the Southern Baptist Convention. It might not be what you read about after the convention is met and their resolutions passed and all the rest. But we have over 5,000 missionaries serving in countries all over the world and many thousand serving in North America as well. You know, James, when you think about the missionary purpose of this denomination, the background of that is right now mainline Protestant denominations are dying. They're losing thousands of members by the year. And we've been talking on this program about these research reports coming out, and they're asking the question, why do conservative denominations grow and the liberal denominations decline? What's your answer to that?
General Patton said to many occasions, the most important question a soldier ever has to ask himself, Dr. Moeller, is what is my mission? Conservative denominations have not forgotten their mission. Our mission has not changed for 2,000 years. When Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples of the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all things I've commanded you, a Southern Baptist to this very moment, as you know, realize that is our mandate, that is our raison d'etre, that is why we exist, that's who we are, that's what we're to do, that's what we're about. Everything else is peripheral. And the mainstream denominations, unfortunately, have lost complete confidence in the truth of God's Word. They've lost complete confidence in the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. They've gotten off message, they've gotten off mission, they've gotten off point. That's why you have the mainstream denominations today that are in steep decline, and the conservative evangelical Bible-believing denominations like Southern Baptist and others are still continuing to grow.
Well, I think the point you're making that is fundamental here is that theology precedes methodology.
Without
and you can have a brilliant methodology, but if it's not driven by deep theological conviction, then your own people know that it doesn't fundamentally matter.
That's exactly right. And you know, Dr. Miller, we've talked about it before. We're facing a postmodernistic generation. Nobody knows this better than you do. Nobody speaks to it more articulately than you do. And more than ever before, to quote Sean Hannity, more than ever before, pastors in pulpits must have confidence in the Bible as inerrant, infallible truth that never changes, and preach that truth to a generation that I believe that is hungry to hear it.
Well, let's take that a little bit further, because I'll share with you one of my frustrations is that the number of Christians I meet who have never been confronted with Christian truth about vast areas of life. And, you know, we have to talk about things like embryonic stem cell research and human reproduction and abortion and euthanasia. You had the tragedy of Terri Schiavo earlier this year and so many other things. Do you actually talk about these things with your people?
Well, I'll give you a good example. It's a great question. I just finished a series of messages I called The War of the Worlds. I just finished it just a couple of, about a month ago, where I dealt with truth versus the view of truth from a biblical perspective versus the postmodernistic perspective. I dealt with every issue from, for example, the very first message I spoke was, why believe the Bible? As you well know, Dr. Mola, the average Christian, though they will tell you they believe the Bible, if you ask them why, could not articulate. They don't know why they believe the Bible. So I started off those series with that foundational truth, and then I went from there to talk about evolution, heaven, hell, why Christ is the only way to heaven, and it all goes back to being in the pulpit and having the confidence of not only preaching the truth, but sharing the truth with your people so they can articulate it as well.
Now, the whole issue of Christian worldview, you know, I'll tell you right now, I think there are more people who talk about it than teach it. And so I find a lot of people who think they're kind of getting at it, but their people don't seem to be getting it. And let me give you a concrete example. I was talking to someone the other day about human embryonic stem cell research, and they said, well, you know, I think it's awful to destroy an embryo, but I think it's also awful that we would keep people from cures. Now, you just take that response apart and you think, well, all right, number one, no one's keeping anyone from a cure. But number two, that's like saying I believe in human dignity to a point.
Well, exactly right. And here is the bottom line question the average Christian refuses to ask. What does the Scriptures teach? That has to be our starting point on any issue. It doesn't matter what kind of a logical or rational case can be built by the secular side. What really matters for a born-again child of God is, what does God's Word have to say on this subject? And that has to be the final say.
Folks, the question I want to ask you today is, are you hearing in the pulpit of your church or from the pulpit of your church this kind of confrontational preaching? Are you hearing your pastor addressing these issues and connecting the dots between Christian doctrines and the issues of contemporary life? Because I think that's one of the great questions for us. And I'll tell you this, if the pastors and preachers of this country don't stand up and do this, then we're going to have a continuing number of Christians who simply don't know how to be Christian when it comes to confronting these issues. The phone number is 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. My guest today is Dr. James Merritt, pastor of Crosspoint, the church at Gwinnett Center in suburban Atlanta, Georgia. He is also the host of Truth for Life television program, former president of the Southern Baptist Convention, and one of my closest friends. James, you know, I've known you for a long time, and you're now pastor of this church in Atlanta. You have been pastor of another church in that same metropolitan area. Your church is experiencing fast growth. Why?
Well, you know, first of all, quite frankly, we're in a great location. We own 71 acres and 350,000 square feet of buildings that were given to us as a gift right off Interstate 85. So we've got a location, quite frankly, and if you can't reach people where people are, there's something wrong. But even more than that, we're just finding, and I really believe with all of my heart, that the power of all ministry is tied to the preaching of the Word of God. And people know when they come to a church like ours, that's exactly what they're going to hear.
So you don't preach just what you think they want to hear.
If you do that, then you're really not really preaching. You're just talking.
All right, folks. Are you hearing in the pulpit of your church this kind of confrontational preaching that helps you to connect the dots, that speaks to the issues of the day and helps Christians to understand? If so, encourage us. If not, let's talk about how we can get churches, pastors, on track to connect the dots. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. The phone lines are lighting up, and you could be next. Give us a call. We're live today from Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm Albert Mohler.
listening to the Albert Mohler Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. To get online, call toll-free 1-877-893-TALK. That's 1-877-893-8255. Or go to www.albertmohler.com. Here again is your host, Dr. Albert Mohler.
Surveys and studies coming out about church life in America indicate that only a small fraction of today's Christians can actually articulate a Christian worldview. And folks, that's just deadly. When you think about what that means that Christians in the marketplace, in the public square, in the schools, just talking with neighbors, have no idea how to connect Christian truth to the issues of everyday life. When you think about it, that kind of explains a whole lot of where we are as a nation and where we are as a church. Why is it that we do not speak with one voice, one powerful, unitive voice on so many of the major issues of the day? It has to be because a lot of Christians just don't know Christian truth. We have with me in the studio today Dr. James Merritt, pastor of the church at Cross Point, and he is also the host of Touching Lives, and that's a powerful television program. And, you know, the most important issue about Dr. Merritt's ministry, and I want to say this because I'm not only a friend but an admirer, is that he is an expository preacher, a biblical preacher. Dr. Merritt, why is that increasingly rare?
You know, it's a great question, Dr. Mohler, because it is increasingly rare, and it's quite frankly an increasing concern of mine. We've got a lot of younger pastors out there. You know who they are, and they've got wonderful ministries. They're very creative, very innovative. But for some reason, they have gotten this feeling that they can't be relevant and cannot really relate to a generation if they just simply preach the truth of the Word of God expositionally. I am absolutely and controversially convinced that the real power of any ministry is in direct proportion to how that ministry is tied to expositional preaching of the Word of God.
And I think not only is that true for short and moderate range growth, it's true for long-term existence. Churches that are not committed to expository preaching, they may have a big crowd today, but I just can't believe they're going to have much of a ministry in the future. Let's go to Deborah calling from Atlanta, Georgia, listening on XM Satellite Radio. Welcome, Deborah.
Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I was telling the person who answers the phone that I've been very blessed in South Georgia with a church where the Bible is preached as the inerrant word, unchanging word. I'm in the process of moving to Atlanta, to the Alpharetta area, and I would love it if your guest could recommend a church, because I'm really dreading trying to find another one that I know I'm going to hear the truth.
Well, you know, you have been spoiled, Deborah. That's the great thing. You have developed a taste for biblical preaching, and you have developed discernment to look for that kind of preaching and that kind of conviction in your next church. And you're not going to find it everywhere. I'm glad to say in Atlanta there are a lot of really fine churches. And I'm also going to say what Dr. Merritt may not be willing to say, and that is it's worth a drive from Alpharetta to Gwinnett Center to go to his church. But, James, how would you respond to Deborah?
Well, Deborah and I want to be careful because there are a lot of wonderful churches in Alpharetta. And depending on where you are in Alpharetta, quite frankly, we have people who come to our church from Alpharetta. It's not that far of a drive depending on where you live, but there are great churches there. There's Johnson Ferry Baptist Church there in Marietta, which is not far. Bryant Wright's a graduate of Southern Seminary, a great guy, a great pastor. Depending on where you are, from Roswell Street Baptist Church or in Marietta, or First Baptist Church Woodstock with Johnny Hunt, there's a lot of great churches. But I would be remiss if I did not encourage you to, come out and visit with us at Cross Point. We'd love to have you.
You know, I think one of the points here that would help just about anyone anywhere is that if you are a member right now of a gospel-preaching, Bible-believing church, and you're moving to another area, really lean on your pastor to help you find a new church. That's just a principle I would lay out to help people, because just don't move and act like you can find what you're looking for, because you may wander for weeks and weeks, if not longer, just hungering for the Word of God. And your pastor may not know of a particular church in an area, but my hunch is he's going to know someone who does know, or someone who knows someone who can get you to that kind of knowledge, and I think that's really important. And, you know, we as Baptists are supposed to know this, and I know that there are many out there today who aren't Baptists, evangelicals, Christians of other denominations, but the same kind of principle applies. We're not lone rangers. We are to be invested in the life of a local congregation. And, you know, in the Baptist world, that means that when we move from one place to another, we really go from the care of one church to another. And so it's not just like we're moving and setting up in business somewhere. We're a part of the body of Christ seeking to be connected in just the right way. We've got other callers on the line, and you could be next. The phone number, 877-893-8255. That's 877-893-TALK. We're talking about issues in the church today. In particular, we're asking the question, why is it that so many Christians just seem unable to connect the dots? What's not happening in the pulpit? Some of you today may be members of churches where you're hearing that kind of message. We'd love to hear about it. We want to talk about how we can help encourage other pastors to get at this business. And again, it reminds us that it's really a matter of belief. You find out what a pastor really believes when you listen to what he preaches. The phone number, 877-893-8255, live from Nashville, Tennessee. This is the Albert Mohler Program. Welcome back to the Albert Mohler Program. You know, you can look across America, and, you know, one of the fascinating things you can see these days is this satellite image at night. Yeah, you know, if you've ever seen it, so look at North America at night, and you can see these clusters of lights all across North America. You can recognize different cities and transportation lanes and all the rest. Well, what if it was a picture where the lights were really where the gospel is being preached? That would be an interesting thing to see, wouldn't it? Dr. James Merritt's with me here in the studio. James, why is it, you think, that there are some people who are just now catching on to what this kind of biblical preaching would look like?
Well, I think that part of it, quite frankly, is a lot of people are result-oriented, and they see that the fact of the matter is that when truth is not preached, people don't show up and people don't come. But when truth is preached, truth's like a magnet, Dr. Mm-hmm. Mohler. Gospel truth's like a magnet. People really are hungry for truth in this culture. They get enough of doubt and unbelief out there, and they're looking for someone that's preaching truth that they really believe in, truth that can be believed and relied upon, that actually is practical in their daily life.
It's like the late A.W. Tozer said, when all else fails, try the truth.
Exactly.
And you can see its power. Let's go to David calling from Tampa, Florida, listening on WTBN. David, thanks for waiting. Go right ahead.
Yeah, hey, thank you for taking my call, and I appreciate what you do every day, Dr. Mohler.
Well, thank you.
I just wanted to say, you know, I do go to a church where the gospel is preached, and, you know, biblically we are right where we need to be. And it's interesting to me to see how many Christians actually don't want to be there. They don't want to hear the tough subjects such as, you know, sex and homosexuality, or, you know, what to do with your money and that sort of thing. And the thing that I think is most important when it comes to biblical preaching is, you know, Jesus said, my word does not return to me void. You know, my words aren't going to do anything to help anybody. My words aren't going to change anybody's life. But if you get the word, God's word, that's going to split right down in the marrow and the bones, and that's going to get down deep into where it needs to be, and that person's going to change their life.
David, you are an eloquent caller. Thank you. And I think you are profoundly right as well. It is the word of God, and the word of God alone that can get, well, you described it, right down to the marrow of the bones. That comes right out of Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. The word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. It is able to pierce us to the innermost and to separate even bone from sinew. And that's something that's really vital. You know, James, you and I have been involved in the Southern Baptist Convention for a long time. And there was a time when we were really, really young, and we're not quite so young anymore. But, you know, I'm really encouraged when I see all these younger pastors who I think really are committed to biblical preaching.
No question about it. And I think, of course, they've had some great mentors, as you know, Dr. Mohler, through the years, men like Adrian Rogers and Jerry Vines and W.A. Criswell and others. But the Lord knows that in the 21st century, we are going to need another generation to step up and take the baton of truth and hold it high and preach it firmly and preach it confidently with conviction if they're going to really touch the next generation.
Well, you know, we really try to track with some of these issues, looking carefully at developments like the emergent church as it's characterized, and a lot of the seeker-sensitive models and all the rest. The good aspect of those, in other words, the good motivation of a lot of these models is to reach people. And, you know, one of the mantras that you often hear all the time, the mottos of these people, is you have to reach people where they are. Which, of course, when you think about it, it's the only place you could reach them anyway. But nonetheless, you have to reach people where they are, and that becomes an argument for trying to invent some mechanism for getting to where they are. Now, if I'm not mistaken, your confidence is that it's the Word of God, accompanied by the Holy Spirit that inspired it, that gets to them where they are?
Yeah, the bigger question, Al, is reach them with what? Everybody wants to reach people. I mean, you know, whether you're part of the quote-unquote emergent church or you're a part of the Southern Baptist Convention or whatever conservative perspective you take, everybody wants to reach people. The question is, what are you going to reach them with? And the only thing that will reach them and touch them that will make a permanent change in their life is the truth of the Word of God.
Let's go to Chris, listening on WFIA in Louisville, Kentucky. Go right ahead, Chris.
Thank you very much, Dr. Mueller, for taking my call. The church that I go to, sir, it's the pastor teaches specifically what's in the Bible. He doesn't water anything down. And I truly believe that that's what's happening to so many congregations today is because basically they're hearing what they want to hear. They're not hearing the actual truth, and, you know, they don't hang around that long.
Now, Chris, track with me here for a minute. Let me ask you, put yourself in the position of these people you're talking about. What is it they really want to hear? I'd be curious to know.
Well, sir, I mean, they don't want to hear biblical truth. They want to hear what makes them feel good.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what makes them feel good is against biblical preaching, homosexuality. You know, the caller before me mentioned that, you know, how God wants us to deal with our finances. A lot of people, when you mention a subject like finances to them in church, they say, whoa, you know, that's not, you know, it's my money and all this other stuff.
Yeah, Chris, I'll tell you, I think what a lot of people want to hear is a message that validates their personal autonomy. You know, we're living in an age in which people think that they are on their own lawgiver, their own judge, their own psychotherapist, their own preacher. They just want to be affirmed in their own construction of reality and their own lifestyle and their own habits and patterns and all the rest. And, you know, the Word of God, I don't care who we are, every single one of us, the Word of God comes and says you have no personal autonomy. The Word of God comes and says God has total claim on your life. And not only that, God's going to be very specific about all these dimensions of life that are of His concern. Dr. Merritt?
Dr. Mueller, you know, I would just make one simple statement, and if there are any pastors or preachers out there listening, I would hope this would be the one statement they take away from this program from my perspective. It is not my job as a preacher to make the truth acceptable. It is my job as a preacher to make the truth available. That's what God has called me to do. Whether it's the truth about Christ being the only way to heaven or there really is a hell or how do you handle your money or whatever, my sole responsibility is to preach the truth as God has given it.
That's a great word. Last, and with time running out, we want to go to David Cohen from Kokomo, Indiana, listening on XM Satellite Radio. David, it's your turn. Go right ahead.
I appreciate it, sir. I do, and I appreciate all that you've done. I had a comment that I made to the guy who answered the phone. I think part of the problem is, too, that pastors have to understand where their authority comes from. And their authority comes from God. And I think we need pastors to start preaching two things. The discipline of the Old Testament, because it is a discipline, and God took a nation that was basically slaves and turned them into a warrior nation when they went out and had to conquer. And I also think we have to preach apologetics so people have a very good reason and understanding of why the Bible is actual fact. It's fact.
Thanks for your call, David. We're sorry to have to cut you off. We're going right into a break. But, you know, you raise exactly the right point about connecting the dots. We have to help people connect the dot. And I also appreciate your reference about the Old and New Testaments. We must preach the whole counsel of God. We'll be back with some final thoughts in just a moment. I'm Albert Mueller. Well, there are several thousand Baptists in Nashville, Tennessee, and they're all getting ready to go out to dinner. So it's going to be fierce competition at the eateries tonight. And you know, that's the way it is. It is a time of fellowship and all the rest. And that's going to be happening all across America with different denominations. Last week, the Presbyterian Church in America. This week, the Southern Baptist Convention. Summer is the season when so many of these denominations are meeting. And, you know, I think it's a good time for us to understand that significant business is done. We talked yesterday about the fact that on the liberal side of the denominational picture, the United Church of Christ next month is going to be debating whether or not to affirm the Lordship of Christ in terms of a resolution that's going to be entered there. All across America, for instance, there are churches that are going to be dealing with homosexuality and abortion, homosexuality in particular, same-sex marriage and the ordination of homosexuals. That's not up for debate at the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm thankful to say that. But we really have an obligation to look at these things squarely, honestly, and also we have an obligation, I think, to pray that God would do a work in these other denominations to call them back to the Scripture. It's really important that Dr. James Merritt is my guest today, because as we close here, I just want us to remember, James, that the Southern Baptist Convention could well have been very different than it is now.
No doubt about it, Dr. Moeller. And, you know, we, you and I got to live through some of the most exciting and yet some of the most difficult times of the convention. And as you know, through the sovereignty of God, we put off the unprecedented. We turned a denomination back to its denominational roots of truth and inerrancy and believing in the Scripture. And I'll say this very quickly. You can tell all you need to know. You can learn all you need to know, Dr. Moeller, about a denomination by what they debate. And I thank God when we come to the Southern Baptist Convention, we know one thing's not up for debate, and that is the truth of the Word of God.
Yeah, and that's an absolute essential, because where you see these issues up for debate, you know that the fundamental confidence that that church or denomination would have in biblical authority is already gone. By the time you're debating the ordination of homosexuals and homosexual marriage and all the rest, in some sense, you know, proverbially, the barn door is already open and the animal's already gone.
You're already on a dead end street, Dr. Moeller. You're exactly right. You've already lost the battle, the war, much less the battle.
We need to pray as Christians that God would, for His own name's sake, bring a real spirit of conviction in His church. Center us in the gospel, and then the Bible is the inerrant and infallible Word of God. Help us to connect the dots. Help us to raise up a generation of young missionaries and pastors and evangelists and apologists who are going to go all over the world and not destroy the faith, but defend the faith and take the faith.
Dr. Moeller, Adrian Rogers, you heard him say this one time, and I'll never forget it. He said, when I get to heaven, I'd rather be guilty of believing the Bible too much than believing the Bible too little.
We're living in interesting days, folks, and all you have to do is look at the nation's newspapers, watch the television, listen to the radio, and you're going to hear an interesting conversation. But this is the place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter. Tomorrow's Ask Anything Wednesday. You get to set the agenda. Get ready to call. We'll deal with your questions. Live from Nashville, Tennessee, this is the Albert Moeller Program.
Thanks for listening, and be sure to visit our website, www.albertmoeller.com. You'll find archives of past shows, Dr. Moeller's daily crosswalk commentary, and other important resources. You can also email your questions and comments. That's www.albertmoeller.com. Be sure to join us next time for the Albert Moeller Program, your place for intelligent Christian conversation about the issues that matter.